Hi, this is Ed Asner. And you, of course, know me as J. Jonah Jameson, Uncle Ben Parker, Perry White, and, of course, Gray Goodness. And you're listening to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life.
Marvel has the amazing friends. DC has the super friends. We've got the Comic Book Central friends right here. Yes, you are in the right place at the right time to have some fun. Welcome, one and all, to Comic Book Central. I am your host, Joe Stuber. This is where comic books come to life. Crazy cool conversations with the greats who bring our favorite comic characters to life on television, on the silver screen, on stage, and beyond. Everywhere they come to life. You're going to hear about it right here. Huge treat for all of you listeners out there today. Huge treat for myself today. You know, we talk about these legendary Hollywood talents, ones who've been around, they've done it all, they've seen it all, they're a part of television and movie history. In just a few minutes, one of the giants is going to be stopping by the lair. I'm talking about multiple Emmy winner, one of the greatest actors of all time, Ed Asner. He's going to be joining me today. Talking all about his classic character, Lou Grant, his incredible voiceover work behind some of our favorite characters. We're going to be talking about a lot today. I'll say this, you know, growing up, it seemed like every time I turned on the television, Ed Asner was right there bringing us one memorable performance after another. He was just always on the television set. Well, today, he is right here on Comic Book Central. Totally stoked for this episode today. I'm sure you are as well. Ed Asner is going to be along in just a few minutes. Quick reminder, if you are new to Comic Book Central, or if you're a longtime listener and you want to help to get the word out, I'm going to tell you where you, your friends, your family, your buddies at the comic book store, where you can get more and more of these awesome conversations with these talented folks. They're all at the website, comicbookcentral.net. Everything is there. Each and every episode is in the archive. Links to the Facebook and Twitter pages. You can find those there. You can also find the episode guide in the About section on the Facebook page, so be sure to give that a like. iTunes, you click the link on the website, you can subscribe to the show, you get all the episodes that way, and then you're not going to miss a moment of the fun that's coming up. And I'm telling you, you don't want to miss any episodes. A few of the things that are in store, Green Arrow and Aquaman 75th anniversary. Working on some stuff for that. Star Trek 50th, celebrating all year long. More Star Trek goodness on the way. It's all coming your way. Subscribe to the show. Blueberry and Stitcher, we're on those services as well. If you're on iTunes, always appreciate it if you leave a review on iTunes. If you like what you're hearing, that helps get the word out as well. And share the lair. Every Saturday when the episode drops, those links are going to be on the Facebook and Twitter pages. So on Facebook, you just click share, get that out to your friends, retweet it on Twitter. Man, then everybody you know gets to share in on the fun as well. Major league thanks to all of you listeners out there who are doing that. We want as many people here in the lair having fun with us each and every week. All right, kids, you sit tight, take a listen to this, then I'm going to be right back to welcome the one, the only, Ed Asner. Comedy, drama, action, suspense, animation. You name it, Ed Asner has done it. Born in Kansas City, Missouri, schooled in Kansas City, Kansas, and the University of Chicago, Ed's incredible acting skills were honed on the stage first, and then brought to a nationwide audience with roles in some of the biggest television shows of the 50s and 60s. Check out this partial list. Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Route 66, The Untouchables, The Outer Limits, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, The Rat Patrol, Gunsmoke, Mission Impossible, on and on and on. In fact, it had to have been Mission Impossible not to see Ed delivering one knockout performance after another. But in 1970, Ed landed the role that would make him a household name. WJN TV news director Lou Grant on the classic television sitcom, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. From the very first episode, Ed channeled the gruff but lovable boss of Mary Richards, played to perfection by comedy great Mary Tyler Moore.
I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well, yes.
I hate spunk. Tell you what, I'll try you out for a couple of weeks, see if it works out. Oh. If I don't like you, I'll fire you.
Right, right.
You don't like me, I'll fire you.
All right, here's how amazing Ed's performances as Lou Grant are and what they mean to television history. The Mary Tyler Moore Show ran for 7 seasons. Ed was nominated for an Emmy every year it was on, winning 3 times. When that show went off the air, the character of Lou Grant was such a standout. He was spun off into a self-titled show, an hour-long drama, no less. That show ran for 5 seasons. Again, with Ed being nominated each and every year for an Emmy, he picked up 2 more for the mantle. And while all that was going on, Ed Asner earned 2 more Emmys for unforgettable performances in the miniseries Rich Man, Poor Man and Roots, giving him the most wins in Emmy history in the male acting category. Yeah, folks, he is that good. And that instantly identifiable voice is behind some of our favorite animated characters as well. In Spider-Man the Animated Series, he voiced the Stan Lee Steve Ditko creation, J. Jonah Jameson, who was a little tougher with Peter Parker than Lou Grant was with Mary Richards.
You're always in just the right place at just the right time. Tell me, Parker, what's your secret?
A good telephoto lens and a lot of luck, I guess.
That's so. Sure there isn't something else that you want to tell us?
Well, I'd like to get my paycheck today, if you don't mind.
Parker, you really tick me off. I'll find out how a young squirt like you gets those photos sooner or later.
In Disney Pixar's charming animated feature Up, Ed plays Carl Fredrickson, an elderly widower who reluctantly makes friends with young wilderness scout Russell and soon discovers that adventure is out there.
So, you want to assist an old person?
Yep. Then I'll be a senior wilderness explorer.
You ever heard of a snipe?
Snipe?
Bird. Beady eyes. Every night it sneaks in my yard and gobbles my poor azaleas. I'm elderly and infirm. I can't catch it. If only someone could help me.
Me! I'll do it!
Oh, I don't know. It's awfully crafty. You'd have to clap your hands 3 times to lure it in.
I'll find them, Mr. Fredrickson.
I think it's burrows 2 blocks down.
If you 2 blocks past... down, got it!
Showing his superheroic acting range, Ed even took the challenge of bringing one of Jack Kirby's creations to life, the supervillainous Granny Goodness.
Again and again you try, Scott. And again Granny stops you. Give up. Give in to hate and hopelessness. Give in to Granny.
Well, my guest today is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning actor, 5 of those for his iconic portrayal of the classic TV character Lou Grant. He also brought many of our favorite comic book characters to life with his incredible voiceover work. A big welcome to Ed Asner. Mr. Asner, it is a pleasure to welcome you to Comic Book Central today.
A big thank you.
A big thank you to you. This is amazing. Huge thrill for all of us today. Look, I mentioned the voiceover work. That has certainly been a lot of what you've been doing recently, but you don't just perform comic book-themed voiceovers. You're a comic book guy, aren't you?
Well, I've always loved them. I certainly loved them growing up. And they entertained the hell out of me. I mean, I was reading classics at the same time, but I certainly would not give comic books a back seat.
Well, sometimes they even incorporated the classics into the comic books. You had classic illustrated.
Yeah.
And yeah. You're also a member of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund?
Absolutely.
Okay. Why was it so important for you to get involved in that?
Because it's all involved with freedom of speech.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't associate comic books with things like that. They're often called funny books. I mean, that was Stan Lee would always say that. He'd be embarrassed when he told people back early in his career what he wrote. What comic books did you read as a kid? Because I'm going to guess you were around like maybe 10, 11 when Batman and Superman appeared on the newsstands.
I guess I started out with Superman and quickly left him to join Batman. And then all the Marvel ones, Submariner, The Torch, But eventually my favorite was Plastic Man.
Okay, I've talked about this before. That seems to be... Okay, what was the hook with Plastic Man? Because that seems to be a favorite of a lot back in the day. Was it the humor of the book?
He was funny.
Yeah.
He was funny. And there was original humor. I loved it. He made me laugh.
He could become a table. He could be hiding out in the gangster's hideout as a table.
Yeah.
What was it about... Why did you go from Superman to Batman? What was it about Batman that was like, uh-oh, this one's kind of cooler?
Well, I like the reality of Batman. He was mortal. The characters that he encountered fascinated me.
Yeah.
Such as the Joker, of course.
He had a much better rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Much more interesting than Superman's. What sparked your initial interest in acting? What got you into it? Because you started on doing some radio, right?
That was in high school.
Okay.
I didn't think of it as a career at the time.
What kind of DJ were you?
No. We had a radio class, which we had a 15-minute radio show once a week in Kansas City, Kansas. And we would write scripts, adapt scripts, produce them, do the music. Not that I would do the music,
right,
but others would do the music. Do the sound effects, and it was very winning to do that.
Doing comedy? Were you doing radio dramas? What were you doing?
Radio dramas.
Oh, okay. They're making a comeback today. We actually do some on our other podcast too. We kind of do.
Oh,
radio.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it.
I think radio shaped me more than television.
Just because of the imagination involved?
Yeah. That was so important. So important, and it worked well. I got into acting because I would say for two reasons: psychological therapy and escape. It provided me an escape.
Is it true that you have your old college roommate to thank for getting you into acting?
He was in the theater group. I decided to go to summer school. He came bustling home one day and said that they were going to do Murder in the Cathedral and for me to check out the book, and I could do any of the roles in it. I ended up doing the lead.
A great way to start out. You can't go wrong with T.S. Eliot.
It's been downhill ever since.
Look, I start off by saying you got 7 Emmys, so I can't imagine anybody's going to be buying into that downhill ever since... But it's a nice thought. Second City. You had some time in Second City.
Not really. I came out of the theater group from which first the Compass Players emerged, and I wasn't a part of them. I wanted to stay legit.
Okay.
I did not believe in improv or did not know enough about improv.
That's what I was going to ask you. How were your improv chops? Because was it that? Because it's very different.
In rehearsal, when Paul Sills, who created both venues, whenever we used improv, I was good at it, but never thought it would replace, nor did I develop my chops in improv. I believed in the written word.
Yeah, it's a wildly different acting style.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Okay, now, here's the thing. Every so often on the show, it doesn't happen that often, but every now and again, I do get to chat with someone who appeared on the greatest game show in the history of television.
Yeah.
Today, you are that man. Match Game.
Oh, God. Gene Rayburn, right?
Oh, man. Yes, Gene Rayburn. Charles Nelson Reilly.
He's a cute man.
But
I did Hollywood Squares more than Match Game.
You did, but my obsession is with Match Game, and it's an unhealthy obsession.
You're not here to deal with your obsession.
It's an unhealthy obsession. Well, look, I did this with Adrian Barbeau, Lee Merriweather. They humored me. Would you mind if we play just a little bit of Match Game?
I guess.
Okay. Look, you're a trooper.
I'm always doing you a favor.
You're always doing me a favor, and I appreciate that. Yeah. First round of Match Game is Lou Blank. Lou Blank.
Ferrigno.
No, you did. You don't get the $5,000.
Oh God, you're a cheater.
You don't get the five.
You're a cheater. You're screwing me out of my rightful gain.
You didn't match Richard Dawson for this, unfortunately. Now we're going to talk about Lou Grant here. By the way, I have to ask this. You may or may not know. There's like a week's worth of your Match Game episodes that Game Show Network does not show. I think it was like Valerie Bertinelli was on there, Nipsey Russell. Do you have any idea why they just don't show these?
No, not okay. at all.
It's a very strange thing. They get to this week, they go in order, and then all of a sudden that week is gone. Nobody's ever seen them. So, all right.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if the tapes got damaged, if they said something that they had to edit out. I mean, who knows? I just figured you were, you know, I mean, we're going back 40 years, so.
I know, but you think they're discriminating against me?
It's well, if different times, so you never know if something was said on the show that may not fly in 2016.
There's maybe always... I expressed my lust for Valerie.
Oh, didn't we all growing up? Didn't we all?
Mm-hmm.
That could be. Well, look, now we maybe have a little inside information on this. So, the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Lou Grant. All right, this character, first of all, Mary Tyler Moore Show, so influential of everything that followed it. How did you come to the role of Lou Grant? Did you audition? Did they seek you out for this?
Yeah, I auditioned. I had done a pilot at 20th Century Fox. Grant Tinker was there at the time. Or a new detective show. I think the movie's title was The House on Green Apple Road or something like that. And I elected, Wally Grauman directed it, and I elected to play the police chief, who was a bumbler, to play him comically, which I didn't do in those days. And from that, Grant Tinker thought I had chops for comedy, and recommended me to Jim Brooks and Alan Burns, and they then asked Ethel Winant, vice president of talent at CBS, could I do comedy? And without any backup whatsoever, she said, he can do anything. I don't know why she said that.
Isn't that what you always say? Like, can he ride a horse? Of course he can ride a horse. Can he tap dance? Of course he can tap dance.
God love her. She was great. So they called me in to audition, and I read the character of Lou Grant, and they didn't laugh, and they said, well, that was a very interesting reading. Mm. And I smelled immediately that, interesting, but not funny.
Mm.
So they said, when we have you back to read with Mary, we want you to read it all out, crazy, wild, wiggy, so on and so on. And I said, yeah, okay, they're having me back, that's nice, but how the hell do I do what they want? I started to walk out, I said, listen, why don't you have me try it that way now, and if I don't do it, don't have me back. I've never talked like that before or since.
Wow.
And they said, well, we do have another appointment, but all right, fine, try it. So I read it like a mashugner, as we say, and they laughed, and they said, do it just like that when you read with Mary. And I left, you know, it was a week or 2 weeks later, the whole time thinking, what the hell did I do? What was it I did? What was it? So I got in there, and I read it like a mashugner again, and they laughed again, and they said, fine, we'll be calling you. And after I left, Mary said, are you sure? And they said, that's your Lou Grant.
Wow.
So that's the way it happened.
That's a bold move. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of like your scene in the pilot of Lou Grant, the drama, when you're going in to get the job.
Yeah.
Mrs. Pinchon.
Yeah.
There's a great line that she mentions. She said, the great Nancy Marchand. There's a line I think she says in that pilot too that kind of sums up so many of your characters, your performances. It looks like you want to throw a punch.
Yeah.
Which is probably my favorite line of the episode.
Yeah.
It seems so typical. Now, was there ever a conversation?
She was a great actress, let me tell you.
Oh, the scenes with the two of you are just amazing. It's just, you're like always on the verge of being fired.
Yeah.
I mean, which is just classic television. Was there ever a conversation with James L. Brooks during the course of shooting Mary Tyler Moore Show, whenever you're deciding to make Lou Grant, to make it a sitcom, or was it always going to be an hour-long drama?
I don't think they knew. They decided they wanted me to go back to journalism, an hour show, which is rarely a comedic show.
Right.
For the first year, I struggled because I had, in my mind, based my comedic Lou Grant on my two brothers, my two older brothers. And I'm struggling. I had been urged very strongly by the producers, by Jay Sandrich, who had directed most of our Marys. You got to carry the flag. You got to remember what the standards are, what Lou is, blah, 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 blah. So I was trying to be a comedic Lou Grant in an hour show, and it was oppressive. So finally I said, to hell with this. And I've got to find this character that I can live with. And I found it inside myself and not my two brothers.
How far into the run of Lou Grant did you kind of find the character?
I don't think it happened until the second year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So you're kind of still playing him, not necessarily comedic, but more lighter.
Well, that was a battle going on in my brain. I'm not sure that it was that evident.
I think
you watch those shows, you're not going to see a demarcation between first year and second year. But I was able to breathe easier by the time I made that adjustment. So I wasn't going to feel obligated to satisfy somebody else.
I think it helps that there's such a sharp sense of humor in the show.
Yeah.
So that can come out. But then boy, like on a dime, you guys are dealing with, even in the pilot episode, you know, sex scandal within the LAPD. It's just like, how do you go from a situation comedy, three camera situation comedy with, a 300 person audience to, you know, an hour long drama? There's no feedback other than the director.
Exactly.
How do you switch those gears?
Well, another incident happened. I was in therapy at the time. I wonder why. I didn't get much from this therapist. But after the show opened, and I'm lying on the couch, and I said, well, what'd you think? And he says to me, why do you grimace so much? And it hit me like an axe between the eyes. Grimace. And I realized that because there was no audience, because you couldn't laugh when there was something funny, I would do the grimace as Lou to create a signal, I guess, to the world or just to whoever, that this was a laugh line. A stupid technique, a stupid foible. And I realized what a schmuck I had been. Stopped the grimace immediately, but valued what the man had told me. That was the area where I began to drift away from trying to be my two brothers.
Wow, I'm gonna have to rewatch season one again. Which, fortunate, it's May 24th. The DVDs are finally coming out for Lou Grant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Shout Factory is going to be releasing season one, May 24th. So we can watch this and judge for ourselves as we go through. Well, that technique works in sitcoms, though, because that gives your fellow actor that breathing room before their next line while the laughs die down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's a good technique. It just doesn't work in an hour drama. That's interesting, too. All right, so before we get to some of the comic book stuff, I got to ask you about the voiceover acting. First of all, when did you get into voiceover acting? Like maybe mid-late 80s?
I can't remember the date. I think the first heavy engagement or engagement of any consequence was Captain Planet.
How did you get involved in voiceover acting? Had you ever even thought about that before?
No, I always was in love with my voice, but I had no idea. I was so honored that the Captain Planet people, Ted Turner, had sought me out. And I had a lot of fun doing it.
It's, well, there's so many. I mean, you go through some of your one, before we get to the superhero and the comic book stuff, I've got to talk to you about my favorite Pixar film. A lot of people's favorite Pixar film is Up. Carl Fredrickson. Just talk about getting that role. The first time you read the script, what you thought when you read
it. I didn't read a script.
You just went in cold.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
You went into the recording session cold on that?
Each session, yeah.
Wow. That is almost impossible to believe because it is just one of the most moving performances I've ever heard.
Well, Pete Docter and Jonas are very bright, intelligent, and also Bob Peterson, co-producers. They knew what they wanted, and they called for it every while I was busy doing the voices.
Wow.
One of the best compliments I ever got was about midway through the sessions. One of them, I think it was Jonas, said that the animators were very pleased with the selections I was giving them.
Hmm. Okay, so the first time you see the story, the first time you hear the story, the first time you know the complete story, is when you watch it at the premiere?
Well,
You seen a version of it before then?
I suppose they mentioned what was going to happen, okay. But I saw no script.
Right, but in its complete form, a finished film. What did you think about it the first time you saw it put together?
Well, the first two times I saw it, and believe me, you know, when I see myself, I'm so stiff and judgmental. I want to burn it. So the first two times I saw it, it was in 3D, mm-hmm. And I was uncomfortable with my usual resistance and fidgety and not pleased at all, and blamed it on the 3D, I suppose. Then the third time I saw it, I finally was beginning to relax, and it was in 2D, and it was brighter and lighter, and I finally could sit back and enjoy it.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. So you get uncomfortable with your own performances.
Yeah, I'll give you another example. I did a movie that Rod Serling wrote, I believe it was Rod Serling, called Doomsday Flight. And Edmund O'Brien was the star and the villain. And I was the airport manager. Jack Lord was the FBI guy who worked in close proximity to me at the airport. And as we filmed the thing, I just kept falling in love with myself. And man, am I cutting this mustard. Oh, man. Oh, that was good. Ooh, am I good. Ooh, am I hot. And then I saw the film, and I realized that every scene was like the preceding one in terms of activity, in terms of drive. I looked like I had cloned myself from each scene. And I realized that my haughtiness, that there was something wrong with it. Then I did a scene for a series that I was briefly with that starred Richard Crenna. And I played the Capitol Hill reporter in this piece. And Leo Penn was directing this particular show, and that's Sean Penn's father. I did one scene, and it was drunk. I was drunk. And it went very well. So another scene came up in which I was drunk, and I'm going to do it the same way. I still hadn't learned my lesson. And Leo said, no, we already did that. We already did it drunk. Find a different way to do it. So I found a way, I don't know what it was, but I found a different way to do it. And I realized that, as Leah said, we had already seen that. Now we needed to see something else. And I gave him something else, and it worked. And if I had known that on the on the Edmund O'Brien movie, I would have been a lot happier.
Well, it's interesting you have that take when you watch your or listen to your performance in Up, because you had me and my wife bawling like a baby every time we watch it. So it's
I would agree with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a fun movie to watch. Next round of Match Game, you ready? I'll give you another shot here.
Yeah, okay. You're a harsh taskmaster.
I am a harsh taskmaster, but this you should be able to get this one. Spider blank. Spider blank.
I'm thinking. Woman.
It's so close.
How about man?
I think I'll give you that one. I'll give you a second shot. J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
Okay, now you talked about Batman.
I won. How much do I get?
We'll put it in the bank. We'll put it in the bank. It remains to be seen if you can get it. We talk about Batman. We talk about Superman. Had you know much about the world of Spider-Man when you got the role of J. Jonah Jameson?
Not a hell of a lot, but I certainly became aware while doing it. That was a lot of fun. Peter Parker picked a peck of pickles for skits.
Thank goodness you didn't have to say that line in the
TV. Yeah.
I'm always curious, though, but, well, okay, he's a newspaper editor, so how much of Lou Grant is in your J. Jonah Jameson?
Well, they tend to overlap. They tend to overlap. But was it Perry? Who was it? Perry?
Perry White.
In Superman, right?
Perry White. Yeah. You're like the newspaper editor of Hollywood. The iconic newspaper editor.
It's easy for them because I did such an exemplary job in real live action.
You did. That's what I'm wondering. When you were doing Lou Grant, did you meet with newspaper reporters, editors, to kind of channel this, or is it just like
not a lot? But I did run into them. They did their research without me, and they did do the research. I'll tell you, they certainly worked hard researching that show. Gene Reynolds, in particular.
Now you mentioned like the radio. Okay, so we talk about radio plays. So when you're doing Spider-Man, are you working with Christopher Daniel Barnes? Are you in the studio with the other actors acting it out, or are you by yourself?
I think I was with the other actors.
A lot of the TV ones I think they do is radio plays, almost like radio plays.
The TV ones?
Yeah. Now when you get to the features, a little different.
When I did Up, I worked alone.
That brings me up to my next round of Match Game. You ready for the final round of Match Game?
Oh, yeah, Chief. Yeah.
That's why you have 7 Emmys. That's right there is why you have 7 Emmys right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Granny blank.
Goose.
This is my favorite round of Match Game ever, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes.
I wanted to please you.
You're making dreams come true.
Oh, really?
You're making dreams come true here on Comic Book Central. Granny goodness, this gets you into the DC Animated Universe. You did the television. You did the feature. You reprised her for the feature. What did they explain to you about the character of Granny Goodness? Obviously, it's she. Is this your first female character?
Well, I...
that you can tell us about.
They told me she was androgynous, whatever that means. It's like every time I go in and happen to do it again, I have to rediscover who this person is and realize how I can do the evil without necessarily pushing evil.
It's creepy. It's a creepy. Anybody that sees these episodes, it's a really creepy take, and it's so different than anything we've heard from you. Did they tell you the character was based on Phyllis Diller?
No. Are you kidding?
Yeah, Jack Kirby, supposedly, and then the books I've read, he based on Phyllis Diller.
Oh, God, that's great.
Am I impacting your future performances as Granny Goodness?
No.
You're going to come in with a cigarette holder in the studio?
She's wonderful and she's funny. I would like to be as funny while supposedly performing her.
Because you're working with Andrea Romano, the great Andrea Romano.
Yeah.
Bruce Timm. What was the first thing you said when they said it was a female character they'd like you to voice?
Well, I just put on a dress, that's all. And I immediately became Granny Goodness.
That is the recording session I want to see. Other than the paycheck, the differences between recording features and recording for television. We talked a little bit about this. You're by yourself. Is it impacting your performance at all? a little easier for television?
No, it never has. When I get in front of a microphone and a script in hand, I just dive in. I jump in. I don't dive. I jump. And I like to break the water with my feet. And as I'm sinking, I'm hopefully delivering the lines correctly.
Well, you're delivering them amazing for us. I know you do a lot of work with autism charities, including Autism Speaks. What do we need to know about Autism Speaks?
I mean, look, we're living in a world where there's unemployment. Too far great unemployment exists throughout the world. So it's difficult to convince yourself about the unemployment of the world and then at the same time add the create the awareness of hiring autistics. They need special attention. They need special qualifications. I have a son who is autistic. He's high functioning. My other son has a son who is less functioning. So it kind of runs in the family, although it's not genetic, supposedly. But to try to get the world to say stop and pay attention to these particular types, it's not easy. To try to create a special awareness for these people with a special handicap. What a blessing if particular companies, I think Microsoft is one of them, can take the time and look for the values, because they are contributive, highly performing people in their own way. The results are wonderful if you find the way to use them. So I guess a call to people to stop a moment, check out the special qualifications of an autistic handicap and see how you can use it. And you'll be paid off in handsome rewards.
The website is autismspeaks.org. I think you're tweeting about this all the time, right? Your different events that come up and the charity work that you're doing.
I just go where they drag me.
But you know how to... Are you working the Twitter or is somebody working the Twitter for you?
I think that's my son.
Okay. But you are out there. You are tweeting. We see you out there. It's the only Ed Asner?
Yeah.
That's where you're at there. And you're still... Man, you were in my neck of the woods recently with Lindsay Wagner.
Oh, yeah.
You were
Where were we?
You were in Ohio. Shooting Love Finds You in Valentine, correct?
Yeah, it turned out nicely.
What was it like working with Lindsay Wagner? She's our favorite bionic woman there.
Oh, she's a good chick.
She's awesome.
I was in awe the whole time I was in her presence.
Oh. I know it was, I think it's just aired, but hopefully we can see a DVD of this coming out at some point too. And you've got more acting roles coming up? You're staying busy?
Yeah, I'm doing a low budget in Dallas in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks. I don't know.
Okay.
Doing a lot of film festivals and did a little short film which is going to be shown at or competing at the Garden State Film Festival. And of course, I'm doing my one man show. It was written by Ed Weinberger out of personal experience. It's his story, and I do it. And a man and his prostate.
A man and his prostate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you take it on the road, let us know.
It's on the road whenever anybody opens the doors.
They let you out?
Yeah.
They let you out.
Oh,
the street.
Let me in.
You got to get in to do the show. You've been doing this for quite a while. What advice do you have for young actors today?
Get out.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
No, there's so much competition. There's so much chaos. The studio system has been trashed. I wouldn't know what to tell them to do, except you're going to be an actor if you are destined and can't commit yourself to anything else. Then familiarize yourself with every aspect of putting on a play. Be it wardrobe, be it stage, design, be it diction, learn it all. Learn it every bit of it, because you may have to resort to alternative work to stay alive.
If you want 7 Emmys, that's the way to do it, from the man himself. Mr. Asner, I'm telling you what, you are, as your Twitter handle suggests, you are definitely the only Ed Asner, the one and only. On behalf of my listeners, I want to thank you for these incredible performances we talked about. Can't wait for your next projects, and I thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
You're a wonderful host. You know that?
You are too kind, sir. You are too kind.
You really, I enjoyed you immensely.
And I say that to you as well, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's see, got called a slacker by Back to the Future's James Tolkien a few months back. Got yelled at numerous times by Ed Asner today. Come on, is this a great gig or what? Man, that is fun. Making dreams come true here on Comic Book Central. Hope you folks out there listening to that enjoyed it as much as I did being a part of it. Good stuff. Really had a lot of fun today. Hey, if you want more Ed Asner in front of the camera, and who doesn't? You're not going to have to wait long. Soon after I recorded that conversation, it was announced that Ed would be reuniting with his Mary Tyler Moore castmate, Cloris Leachman, the great Cloris Leachman, and Mrs. Brady herself, Florence Henderson. They're all going to be getting together for a new drama called The 11th on the video on demand service Feelin, F-E-E-L-N. Now, I'm not familiar with that service. I'm going to have to check that out. So you can check that out as well. Also, Ed did some promos in character as Lou Grant for the Mary Tyler Moore episodes, they're running on MeTV. Those are pretty awesome. You can see those online as well. Hilarious stuff. Always nice to get a little more Lou Grant as well. Hey, if you want to check out Ed's dramatic turn as Lou Grant, you got the comedy stuff. If you want to check out his dramatic turn as Lou Grant, the first season of Lou Grant is about to be released from Shout Factory. You can order it at shoutfactory.com. I'm telling you, that is a fantastic series. He is amazing in it. The cast is spectacular. The writing is solid. Can't wait to go back and check those episodes out. Pretty much anything Ed's got going on, you can find out about it on his Twitter page. It's at the only Ed Asner. What else would it be? He is the one and only. Also, don't forget, April is Autism Awareness Month. So if you want to find out more about that, check out the website for Autism Speaks. We talked a little bit about that on the show today. It's autismspeaks.org. April is Autism Awareness Month, so great time to go check that out. That link, Ed's Twitter and Facebook pages, those links, you're going to find them all in the show notes for this episode at my website, comicbookcentral.net. Again, my thanks to the great Ed Asner for hanging out with us in the lair today. And thanks to all of you for hanging out in the lair today as well. Listening, downloading, you're streaming the show each and every week. Wouldn't make any sense to do all this without you fantastic folks out there tuning in each and every week. I truly appreciate that, and I want to hear from you. Be sure to drop me a line. Tell me what you think of the show. Tell me what your favorite episodes of Comic Book Central are. Tell me all about your favorite comic book-themed movies, TV shows. Give me your guest ideas. One listener shared a guest idea a few weeks ago. I won't say which guest idea it was just yet, but I will say he is going to be on the show, so you never know. Send your thoughts along. You can click the Signal Me tab on the website, or you can send an email to joe@comicbookcentral.net. That is exactly what listener Marcos did. Marcos writes, I recently listened to your Howard Chaykin interview, and man, that guy is a riot. I couldn't stop laughing. I mean, I'm well aware of his reputation as being very vocal and blunt, but it was funny just to hear his answers. I do agree with him on the CW shows, though. Not a fan either. Any hints or sneak peeks at future interviews? It'd be great to hear from David Hayter, Kelly Jones, Kevin Eastman, etc., but that's just my rambling. As always, keep up the great work, sir. Hey, thanks for writing in, Marcos, and thanks for listening. Thanks for the suggestions. You're going to get a preview of next week's episode coming up here in just a few minutes, so hang tight. It would be great to hear from those folks. I can check that out as well. Look, send those suggestions in. There are quite a few comic book-themed properties and projects out there to cover. We've done a bunch, but there are a bunch out there. So send your suggestions in. You never know who's going to be stopping by the lair. And while you're out there in cyberspace, be sure to share the lair. Click share on the Facebook page when the episode's posted every Saturday. Retweet it on Twitter at comicbookctrl. Send your friends the link to subscribe to the show on iTunes. Give the gift of Comic Book Central. What better gift can you give? Hey, why should we be ones having all the fun in here, right? Let's get some more people to hang out in the lair with us. Let's have a blast. Get the word out. Stitcher, Blueberry, we're on those services as well. Thank you again to all of you for getting the word out. All right, that's it for today, kids. I'm going to run out into the street and fling my hat into the air, Mary Tyler Moore style. Maybe I'm going to go watch some more Magic Game. But I will be back soon because next week on Comic Book Central, she stood toe-to-toe with the Incredible Hulk. She's Wonder Woman's mom in the animated Justice League, and she's Nathan Fillion's mom on the ABC hit show Castle. The lovely and immensely talented Susan Sullivan will be my guest here in the lair next week. I hope you'll return to check it out. Until then, keep turning the world on with your smile, keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 imported license. All the content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of their respective holders.
Russell?
Doug!
I was hiding under your porch because I love you. Can I stay?
Can you stay? Well, you're my dog, aren't you? And I'm your master.
You are my master? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Good boy, Doug. Yeah, good boy.